Shut up and sit down.
Right. Hello and welcome to episode 80 of Geek Girls, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Girls podcast is supported solely by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm here with my co-host, the Jen, who is eating.
Hello. I'm not doing anything with any chicken nuggets of any kind.
And September, aka 9 of 12.
Hiya!
And I'm going to go ahead and give out the spoiler alert for our episode. We are going to be talking about Black Panther and all spoilers held within. And we have with us today to talk about that Curtis LaRock.
Hello.
He is a podcast fan, a Diamond Club enthusiast, and an occasional podcaster.
Sometimes, when we get around to it.
Keep in mind, you can listen to the next several minutes. We'll give a warning when spoiler begins. So,
yes,
we're going to catch up in news.
Yeah, we're gonna do, you know, what you've been up to, and then the news, which is lots of fun. And then we'll get to the spoilers. So, Jen, what have you been up to?
I have definitely not been playing any Monster Hunter of any kind. No, that's not true. I actually finished the story in Monster Hunter after much frustration, anger, rage, crying, joy, triumph. it was fun. Now I get to have the end game, which is go kill bigger monsters that hit harder so you can make even better armor so you can kill bigger monsters that hit even. That's all it is. That's pretty much it. So that's great.
Okay, so you don't know how games work.
Story. Well, it's just that there's not, like, the story is not, there's no story. It's like, hey, there's a dragon. Oh, we're gonna kill it. Okay. it's not the story game. So if you want the story, it's not for you. So I did finish that up. I got a pretty rad tattoo on Friday. It takes up pretty much, like, all of the lower outside of my left leg. It's like a DNA tree, quote-unquote. I've been sending out lots of pictures of it, so if you check out all the stuff, it's pretty much everywhere. It was 3 hours and 45 minutes of tattoo time, as he put it. I got a lot of air quotes today. So, it was intense. Holy crap. It makes all my other tattoos, like, be like, wow, that was fucking nothing. I feel like, why did I even feel like that hurt? That was pathetic. I felt like this real legitimate piece. So it was really amazing. I did not get a chance to watch the first episode of the new half season of The Walking Dead because Amazon, when you buy the season, doesn't give you the episode till the next day. And I didn't have time yesterday to watch it. So thanks, Amazon. That was cool. Life support cutter. I don't have any much news about it yet, but season 10 Queens for RuPaul's Drag Race were revealed, so I'll have that soon. I'm so be very excited to have a chance to see it. Yep, that's it.
Okay, and Curtis, what have you been up to?
Not a ton. In the past, I don't know, 2 weeks, whatever it's been, I have watched Black Panther 3 times, so I'm kind of prepared for this episode, I guess, just a little bit. aside from that, I decided to rewatch the anime Bleach for some reason.
That's a long haul.
Yeah, I've been going through it way too quickly, way quicker than is probably healthy. But it's not as painful of an experience as I thought it would be. It's better than just cheap nostalgia. It's actually like, some of this was actually good.
I rewatch it and I tap out after the end of the series day, and I'm like, cool, that was fun. Did it
cool. Yeah, no, I'm doing the full long haul of Bleach. I was either that or Inuyasha, and I just wasn't in the mood for Inuyasha. I was just like, nah, can't do that right now. But Bleach is working out all right. Aside from that, I've been prepping for South by Southwest, aka South by So Wasted, for Diamond Clubbers. I am very excited about that. And I'm going to be doing PAX East as well. I'm going to be enforcing for that. So it's going to be my first time actually working that particular con. So that should be interesting. So yeah, fun times. I got around to doing my taxes finally. So I did something adult-like-ish. Yeah.
Yep. Well, that, yeah. I mean, that's a good thing to do. There's yeah. No problems if you don't do those.
I'm just trying to get that return ASAP so I can afford to continue to go to all these cons that I have planned.
That's cool. Ember, what have you been up to?
Well, those of us who have come in before may see some new things below us in the stream on Twitch. I set us up as an Amazon affiliate. I have my gear listed there that I use in the stream and the podcast, and I'm certainly happy to add if all y'all send me lists, we could add those things. But if you go through there and buy something from Amazon, that can help us out. We also have Nightbot and Showbot set up. So I do need some more mods. We'll get more mods in there that can handle all this stuff. And if you put in !S and then type something, that will be taken as a suggestion for a show title. those of you that listen know we come up with some crazy stuff that's usually just some crap somebody blurts out during the podcast. And, of course, all you Night Attack fans know they do that there. And it's fun. So I've added that feature. And we have Nightbot going. So you're going to see little reminders to go to our Patreon and to subscribe and like us and all that stuff.
Come hang out with us live.
All thanks in the world to BioCow for meeting with me, doing the walkthroughs and testing and that he's the maker of Showbot, which is pretty fucking fantastic piece of work. Mm-hmm. Let me see what else. And then we'll after the show ends,
fantastic piece of work to say.
We'll stop. we'll fart around a little bit and look at the votes and decide. So I want to give a shout out today to my Pokemon raid group. This is like the Stateful Raiding Mofos. The sense of community I've talked about before, I mean, it's really neat going to hang out with these people. And we're not all real close friends or anything, but I've had a couple things the last couple days. Yesterday, my husband left for Florida. He's in Orlando recording an album right now. And my car was at the Chevy dealership, and they were putting an axle on it. Now, Chevy was great, too. They put extra people on it and replaced my axle in, like, an hour. They knew my husband was leaving, but it was still too late. He was gone. And I was like, shit, I need to go get my vehicle. I had his, but you can't drive two. And I was like, I put it on Facebook for my friends locally and just crickets. My friends. There's some air quotes for you. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to tap the raid group. Bunch of them are driving around, right? Doing raids. And I got a response from Debbie, especially, is super awesome. And she came to my house, picked me up, took me to get my car. And then today, I don't know if those of you that play Pokemon Go, that Kyogre was a raid for a month, and like everybody already has it. I don't have it because I had a lot of shit going on. My dad was in the hospital and then out of the hospital. And my mom was in the hospital. And she got out. My dad went back in and my uncle died and my cousin was in the hospital. And just, I was a big stress ball. I had to go to Raleigh to counsel my son. So I didn't raid as much as usual and I didn't get it. Well, now there's a special event and there's like until March 5th. You can get Kyogre again, but everybody's sick of his shit. He's super hard to catch. It takes like fucking 8 or 9 people, and it takes down like 2 of your teams. I mean, even I'm at level 34, and I'm not getting enough revives to bring them all back. So it's just really hard, and people are fatigued, and they don't want to fucking do it. And I still don't have the piece of shit. So today, Debbie, the same person, was like, hey, did you get it today? Did you get it yet? And she rallied everyone. She, like, put an event in our raid chat saying, hey, get Kyogre for September. She's one of our team, and we can't have this, one of us not having it, and got people to go to this Kyogre raid for me. And there was
so
like
awesome.
Mostly Team Mystic, so I got 10 balls to throw. Didn't catch the fucker.
Oh.
No.
But I have a few more days, and hopefully they'll stay on board, so I want to give them a shout out for like the real life help too. That was pretty damn amazing.
That's
cool. Yeah.
My son blamed it on my Moby Dick reference. Because when people are like, are you here yet? I'm like, call me Ishmael.
Now you'll never get it.
He's not white.
Yeah, he's not a white Pokemon, but still.
My son says his shiny is pink and that's close enough.
Yeah.
Oh really? Oh my goodness.
All right, so my turn, right? Yeah?
Yep.
So it is time for the plushie update.
Mm. Wait, we have a thing.
He's so plushy, I'm gonna die.
Oh my okay. God, that's so perfect and appropriate.
Okay, so the first thing isn't a plushie per se, but it's something that I had been kind of like working on and putting down. It's something that I made for myself, actually. It's a bag that I have. It's got my husband and my initials on it. It's green and purple. It's kind of hard to see, but that was our wedding colors. So I've got this little, got my bag now that I can take and put projects
purple
in.
Purple and green are my life colors, so I support that.
I did just finish in the stream. I finished my Charmander, so he's all done.
I love the poofy tail.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he's not like a limb, a bleeding limb of yarnness like he was last week.
Now you can see his whole hand.
That's why I had to watch the stream.
I was a little traumatized. You know? I was like, what is that?
I knew she was assembling this time. I was like, I'll feel better about the trauma of the limbs being shown last week.
I have finished a dragon scarf. It's a little dragon friend that you put around.
Oh my god. How do I buy shit from you again?
That's the best.
And then the very last thing that I have this week, I was busy, is I made a Chichala.
Oh
my gosh.
He turned out
so good.
I was so happy I found the pattern. I was like, I must make many of these for MomoCon.
Yes.
So that's the plushie update for this week. And let's see. I actually started reorganizing my yarn stash because I have two giant bags of yarn that I just got from my friend. And I only have three bins in which to put my yarn. And they don't fit anymore because I have a bunch of extra now. So it's way more of a mess because I've been taking a lot of things out and trying to reorganize, and I got like stopped in the middle, so I couldn't put anything back in. So there's just a bunch of yarn balls, in my space right now. I'll eventually get it all put back, in there. I'm running out of space. And then kind of the last thing that I've been up to is I was packing for, the Garden of Destiny's LARP that I've got coming this weekend. So I've got all my costuming, my songbook, all of my cheat sheet with my rules on it so I can remember what I can actually do as the character. And I'm going to go and chuck packets at people in the woods next weekend because that'll be fun. So with that, let's see, it's time for the Geek Grapevine. Okay, so who put in the BBC?
I did. The love in the world out to Kevin Smith. I am super happy he survived. I'm a big fan.
Widowmaker heart attack?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
100% blockage. And a warning to you, all this out there, he's 47. And I mean, he's been losing weight and getting healthy, and we've all watched his journey, and then, I mean, he almost died. And the symptoms that he talks about, the experience, there are a lot of things that, you know, you hear more about these days. Everybody's like, remembers, oh, my heart, you know. But he threw up a little. He was feeling nauseous. He was getting sweaty. I mean, these are like the less understood symptoms of heart attacks. My stepmother had the same thing, where she had a couple of days of being having mm-hmm. those kind of symptoms before, oh, it's a heart attack, and had to get a stent. Mm-hmm. And I think her blockage was in the 80%, you know, range. But it was really... I love Kevin Smith. I love Kevin Smith enough that, like, my son saw the news before I did. He's like, Mom, did you know he's okay, but Kevin Smith had his heart attack. And I'm like, holy cow. So he's aware of that. But it was really great writing.
I couldn't find the confirmation that he was okay when I heard. I was freaking out.
Yeah. Well, it was really great. I loved his writing about it. It's worth going to read him talking about it. And it's in the article that I'll have posted in our notes. But it was really nice to see that's the thing, I was scared of dying. And I was in that moment and thought, I've had a pretty good life. You know, the things he's done. And, I mean, I just love him so much. You know, we talked about what he did with the Me Too campaign stuff. He's donating proceeds from all those movies where he worked with that shithead, whose name will not mm-hmm. be spoken. So good guy, doing good work, and yay, because there's more seasons of his podcasts and Comic Book Men and stuff coming, and we'll mm-hmm. get to see them now. So thanks for all you do, Kevin. Glad you're okay.
All right. Den of Geek, who posted about Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so, okay, did this just completely sneak up on anybody else that this is a movie being made?
Yeah, I just heard
about
one
of my favorite books.
I had no idea.
I had no idea either. And the only reason I even knew about it was because Michael B. Jordan is in it.
What?
And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, new trailer out. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking this must be an early development.
Yeah.
But no, it's more Eric Cook. I need to stop. I'm going to put my hands. but yeah, like, this is, what is with all the books that were like, all the books that you read in K through 12, are all just one by one being made into movies.
Yeah. Is 1984 going to be a movie soon?
I don't know, but Wrinkle in Time is coming.
Terrible. Yeah. But we've got Wrinkle in Time, The Giver, Fahrenheit 451. I just feel like there's so many books that are...
If they do an Of Mice and Men reboot, I will die.
They're doing a what?
Of Mice and Men.
Why? Well, that it was already handled, it was done well the first time. But if
yeah, well, you know Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a raisin in the sun. Like, I don't really make that one.
Well, it's like somebody was like, "Here's this book from this, you know, 12, year 12 reading list. Let's make a movie out of it." And then everybody else is like, "Hey, we should take these other books that are also on this reading list and make movies out of them."
Yeah.
Do they all need to be book? Like, do they all need to be movies, or can we let some things just stay as books?
If they make a movie out of Where the Red Fern Grows, I'm gonna kill someone. Just up shoot them.
Oh,
no.
Are you kidding me? I think that already exists, and I think I really.
Yeah, isn't there an animated one, too?
Animated is fine.
No, I'm 90% sure that I've seen that.
I mean, there might be one from years ago that was made, and I'm okay with that, but if they add it to the list of the new ones, I'm going to have to shoot someone.
I don't have anything against
that book made me cry.
And I've seen it, because my dad, I think, made me watch that shit, and I cried. It's horrible. It was a bad movie. It was just
I don't have a problem with this, because sometimes you really can just make it better than they could.
Yeah, here's what bothers me when we make everything into a movie. I have a friend who's one of my best friends, and I respect a lot, but I've been like, oh, you have to read this book. And he literally said to me, if it's a book worth reading, it'll be made into a movie someday. So, I mean, I'm not going to bother it. And I was like, that's not true.
What?
There's so many books that never get made into movies. And then now I'm completely wrong. They're all
there are.
Well,
there's like, some books. Go ahead, Curtis.
I was just gonna say they're two completely different media. Like you it's worth consuming both. Like, well, come on.
What I was gonna say is there's some books that in their like original, the way they're written, don't work as movies. Dracula is a great example of that, because Dracula is all like diaries and clips from like articles, and it's all about building suspense and you not knowing what's going on until about the last like third of it, and that you can't do that in a movie properly and have the movie be interesting. Like, I just, Dracula, well, like World War Z, reimagined every time.
They just made an action movie. It really is shit to do with the book.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good book.
One of the most telling moments to me are what you lose in a translation from a book to a movie is The Hunger Games. I know that's the example I'm going to use. But the way that Rue is handled and the fact that her distress like sends that bread and they're the one that gives that, and what they went through to be able to give that tribute or that gift to her as a thank you for how she like honored Rue at the end, like that, it came up in the movie, but it has nowhere near the same impact on the ties of the district. And I think about like that moment and what you lose when you try to just cram these books into movies, which are, anyway, sorry, I go on for this for way too long.
Okay, so
hashtag I was a lit major.
So the AV Club, was that Ember, the one about Disney?
Yes. So I thought this was really exciting and a great way to wrap our news as we go into our main topic. Our main topic is going to be Black Panther. But this popped up in my feed earlier today from Silver Kitsune had posted it.
Do you want to do the truck crash then first, if you want to have this be the transition?
You're hosting. I don't care.
I flipped them because I just had a habit. Sorry.
It's okay. And we'll do the truck crash first because it's real short.
Roadsville. This website is frustrating because it starts yelling a video at me. But
yeah,
the driver charged after trash truck spills garbage on.
It's in Virginia somewhere.
In Virginia.
It was basically an 18-wheeler full of trash.
Oh god, that's great.
A dump truck was coming the other way or something, and he was like in the way, and so he swerved off onto the on-ramp too fast and just
he was hauling ass.
Just ass over tea kettle. Ass over tea kettle.
Oh my god.
Trash
spilled like a trash can. Like, that's the most terrifying thing ever, like when your trash bag like explodes. And like all I can think of is that on a much larger scale. It's awful.
Yeah, wimpy, try, wimpy, wimpy. Share that
you just pipe. Made me think of like an infomercial. It's like, there's got to be a better way.
So there's your road spill for this episode.
Oh boy.
Cool.
Now we move on to
the trashy road.
Yes. Silver Kitsune, thank you she's a previous guest burlesque star I know. And she had shared this today and I got super excited. But life imitates art as Disney opens the STEM Center in Oakland with Black Panther money. So they've taken like $1 million and they're building a STEM Center in Oakland. They're giving it to the Boys and Girls Club in Oakland to build a STEM Center there.
That's really cool.
Not a spoiler, technically.
Not a spoiler, technically.
How is that a spoiler? Like, if that's a spoiler, you need to put your definition of what's a spoiler.
You've got to dig for reasons. Really hard in your mind to understand that that's a spoiler. not really.
Nope.
But I'm really happy about this. And this is very Disney. Like, they didn't have to do this, though. So nice opportunity.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So quick aside. So my husband was like, yeah, there's like rumors that like Apple is going to try and buy Disney. And I'm like, Disney has enough money that if Apple's like, we want to buy you, they're probably going to be like, nah.
I don't even, like, that's been a thing that keeps coming up in conversation, and I just don't see it. But it does come up. Like, it seems like every couple months, it's like there's this discussion, like, oh, is Apple going to buy Disney?
It's because everybody just wants to know what Apple's going to do with all this ridiculous amount of cash it has lying around.
They're gonna Scrooge McDuck. That's what they're going to do. Possibly. Their entire staff.
They're pretty hardware focused. I don't see them going into production.
It's going to show up on one day. They'll have 14 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
1%
of the company's money will be used to fill the pools so everybody can Scrooge McDuck. That's what they're going to do. Get over it.
All right, so shall we go into our discussion topic then?
Yes!
The Black Panther movie! Rawr. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Black Panther shirt. I suck.
So, here's y'all's warning. Spoiler alert. And go.
Yeah, come back. Is this a supplement? Like, later, after you've seen the movie?
Yeah,
you can find us on all those podcatchers and shit.
So I just want to open with the fact that I love that all of T'Challa's most trusted people are women. Mm-hmm. I know that doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but I just thought that was great. Oh, it has
absolutely everything to do with everything. Well, that was not an accident.
Almost all. What's his name?
Agent.
Whitaker's. Was that his name?
Agent?
Is that the wrong actor?
Oh, no. Ooh, Forrest Whitaker? No, that's... No. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. His character... It's interesting that he ends up being put in a position where he has been revealed to have been lying to him that whole time. So, yes, he was one of his more trusted
characters.
He's
the only one, though. Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't any of the women.
I didn't even know he was in this. Like, that was a total surprise for me. I was like, wait, what?
I didn't realize that either.
The casting of him as a child? How did they manage that with his wonky eye? Like, wow. Like, is that makeup? That was amazing. I always pay attention to that. Like, it's casting like that is fascinating to me. Like, trying to find someone who looks like a younger version of someone. And that had to definitely pose a particular challenge.
All right, completely unimportant thing that I have to comment on. As an Oakland A's baseball fan, I very much appreciated that there was a vintage Oakland A's hoodie. And I was like, I had this little moment of like, yes! Like, that little moment was so cool for me. Like, as somebody who grew up in Northern California, who's an Oakland A's fan, like, that was not something they had to do, but they did.
They got sports fan service in your Marvel movie.
Fuck yeah. The only sport I legitimately, like, actually follow, and I love my A's.
The movie was so gorgeous. I loved all the colors. I loved all of their, like, design choices.
Although, yeah, the architecture.
About the challenge took place. I kind of, it was like a hero's journey. Like, I could tell the beats of the hero's journey as we were going.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, the moment we got there, I was like, okay, someone's going over that cliff at some point. Probably T'Challa.
I just kept thinking, like, hey, let's go out to the challenge fall, where sometimes somebody dies in the challenge and somebody just gets swept away. Because we do this right up against a fucking wall.
Well, it was built into the challenge. Because they had their defenders, their champions, like, moving in and moving in different stages depending on how many blows they took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I'm assuming that, like, the way it seemed to be set up, there was just like seemed to be a general assumption that challenges weren't going to happen, and like the whole stage of the challenge was obviously tradition, but also very like tradition boiled down to something that was a little bit sort of very much stage-like, where, like, yeah, like, it appears as a stage because nobody expected this, like, the stage to really be taken advantage of. And, like, yes, it's clear, like, the easy kill would be to throw somebody off the friggin' cliff. And, like, it came very close to that in the first challenge. And, of course, that's where the second challenge went, because foreshadowing. But I felt like that was kind of deliberate to make it seem that obvious, because that was contrasting against the idea that it was so obvious that T'Challa would ascend to the throne and that there wouldn't be challenges, and yet it happened twice.
Also, yeah, because I think it was setting up the honorable versus non-honorable way of having that sort of challenge play out.
And the oh Jesus, I lost my train of thought. Yay! That's how this night's gonna go.
Well, I want to go back to the colors, because Linda had started on that. The colors and the architecture.
I love how Wakanda. It looked built up. It didn't just look like a city that has sprung up, and it looked like generations and generations had taken to build up that high. I really loved that.
And that there were, like, African influences in even, like, modern, well, not even modern, they're, like, super high-tech, but in some of the shapes in the buildings, and, you know, then in their clothing and stuff, colors that were a reflection of, you know, they are in the middle of Africa, and retain that instead of making them all sci-fied out with all just shiny, you know, I love that they kind of kept that.
I like the fact throughout the movie, there was that, like, homage paid to, I think tradition.
To real African culture. To real African culture. It was that they were very good about, like, showcasing that.
Sure. And, like, that's one aspect of it. But I guess one of the things that I really liked was the fact that you got a feel, without reading a history book on Wakanda, what's important to those people. Tradition, respect for one another, just there were so many things you didn't have to know. Oh, their high holidays are this, or but you just got a feel for it. And a lot of that had to do with the iconography of, like, of the armor. I also liked that it was functional and yet still had that traditional kind of feel to it too. Like, when they pulled out their shields, or that they pulled out their arms, and all of a sudden these, like, crazy high-tech shields go up, and I'm like, oh, that is amazing, I love it. I was so like, on that moment was, I think, the epitome of that.
So on the tech note, can we talk about how they treated women in this movie? Wow.
Well, yeah.
So
I mean,
fucking happy.
Like a whole conversation. Yeah. Totally.
Shuri is best princess. Shuri is best princess.
Best princess.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I feel like we can't have this conversation without bringing up the thing that we bring up in these conversations, which is the best. So, I need to rewatch it, but I'm pretty sure there were actually two scenes that passed the Bechdel test. In my recollection, but I need to watch again. The Bechdel test is whether or not two women who can talk to each other about something other than a man while on screen. And I'm pretty sure there were actually a couple of moments where that did happen.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure. And you know what I kept getting distracted by? How much Shuri, in my head, it translated to Siri all the time.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I just love how they handled the level of humor. Like, she was clearly your comic relief, but she was still worthy of respect, intelligent, and just a fucking badass. Like,
oh,
I want you to be my friend, and I want to be you when I grow up. Both those.
So I have another fan theory based off nothing, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
That because Iron Man may die Infinity War, I think Shuri might become Ironheart, which would rock.
This is not the first time I'm hearing of similar things.
Yeah, because Ironheart in the comic is an African-American woman who is a scientist, super smart, and I'm like, there we go.
Well, is it her running with him in the Avengers trailer?
I don't know.
One of those women is running right next to him in the Avengers trailer. Yep.
I have to go back and try to figure out. I don't know if that's what that is. I think that's actually something.
Jackie brought up a really cool, because I was like, who the hell is that? When I saw the trailer before the movie, and then during the movie, and now I forgot, because I get way too excited by the movie. Jackie brought up something interesting. She's wondering if that potion would work on other heroes. If they're going to bring that into taking people's powers away into the Marvel Universe.
Okay, that was the only thing that I was like, I'm not sure, because they would not only have one garden.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Like, I felt like the whole point of the garden was just, again, part
tradition.
Of tradition.
Yeah.
But probably accessing whatever the source of that garden is difficult enough that it made sense for them to like go in the garden, steal a little bit of it, and
but,
run away.
Yeah. Is it even the same one? Is it the same one that gives it and takes it away?
No. I think it's
the Heartflower gives the power.
Something else.
Right.
The giving of it is specifically the heart-shaped plant. But I actually don't find it hard to believe that was it. That it's a limited resource. Maybe it takes years to grow.
Well, it probably is limited, but I would think they would have put the seed pod, like some seed pods, away just in case.
You would think,
I mean,
right?
Why would they think about it? I mean, think about it this way. Do they
natural
even
disaster.
Go there? Like, they've been there established for so long. Would that even cross their mind? Because everybody there has such a respect that it doesn't seem like it's something that even...
Oh, I mean...
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, but like, you know, natural disaster, accidents, disease, plant disease, you know.
There's things other than usurpation that, you know, could make the plant go away.
Even us plebes have a seed bank.
I don't know. I don't get a hard time believing that necessarily, but that might not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it wouldn't take a ton of suspension of disbelief.
I also don't know if I want that existing in the MCU, because it's like, oh, cool, here, have the super drug plant.
Well, maybe that's a way for them to have the, this is a very, very limited resource. So we're going to, if we find another one, we're going to hang on to it real quick.
So
like
what,
real close.
So I haven't like read or followed the comics at all. Like they're not really explicit as to what the history of that plant is or like where, like, how does that plant make
it
sense?
It was given to them by the goddess Bast, is the story.
Bast.
That's the lore.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, exactly.
And I thought when the other tribe was... When they ran to them with the plant, I thought the big reveal was going to be that they had more of them, that like they had were keeping their own.
Nah.
But, but then it was better because, you know, he was alive. Which
we
knew, but I didn't expect it to be there.
I did.
Just kidding, we're vegetarian.
Yeah, no. I literally, like, they went up the mountain. They went up the mountain, and I was like, oh, he's going to be there. They found him in the river.
Yeah.
Or he did.
He went over the cliff, and I was like, okay, when does he show up again? Like, and okay.
Tropes are tropes.
Tropes are tropes.
Isn't that, like, what happened in, like, what was it? Was it Batman or something? Where he like gets found in the snow and just kept on ice or whatever. I don't remember if it was Batman or something else.
Are you talking about Captain America?
Captain America was kept on ice.
No,
yeah,
not Captain America.
Which, he's my jam. I love Captain America.
By the way, I was actually talking about where this ranks. You said Captain America, which is actually my favorite of the MC movies. Sometimes they flip around a little bit.
Which
so might have actually Captain America, the First Avenger. Sometimes it's my number one, but it rotates.
Winter
the Avenger.
Winter Soldier is still my favorite. My top.
Winter Soldier, the top five.
Mostly because that's when you really get to introduce to Bucky, and you're like, I just want to pet you and hug you. Stop looking at me so sadly.
Speaking of super spoilers, did everybody stay for all the after bits?
By the way, the moment she said, another broken white guy.
Yes!
Another broken white boy. Like,
oh, really?
I did not think of it at all. No, yeah, she was like, oh, look, another broken white boy for us to fix, and I'm like, yay!
Yep, that's exactly it. I was like, yes.
And then, as Ember was saying, the super, super spoiler at the very end of the credits is that extra credit scene where he comes out and he's fixed, quote unquote.
I was so stoked. Oh my god. I was like, he's fixed. He's real. He's a real boy now.
Interestingly, the White Wolf comment that they were calling him White Wolf is actually another character from the comic series. It was T'Challa's adopted brother. So, like, some of his story went into Killmonger. But he and T'Challa, figured out that they were kind of fighting for the same reason and then stopped fighting each other. And then White Wolf became, like, head of his secret guard. Like, not the women, but another guard that he had. So I'm thinking that maybe they're going to put Bucky kind of in that. And that's why he's fighting alongside everybody else, not just because he's fixed. Who knows?
Well, we can get you an arm. We saw. Arm just fine.
I mean,
strap one on. It'll do crazy shit. It'll blow
shit up. We got arms. Yeah.
Actually, that was White Tiger.
I've seen Cole.
The character you described from what I read.
I read it was in his name was White Wolf.
Because I put that link in our notes about from the wiki from the original comics.
Let me see if I can find the one that I found. Because it was an actual thing from the MCU stuff.
Yeah,
so.
No, White Wolf is actually a character. That's legitimate.
Supporting character, this came the White Tiger, who was placed in the series The Crew, running concurrently with the few last Black Panther issues. So they're both characters. So we'll see.
When his parents died in a plane crash in the African nation of Wakanda, Hunter was adopted by its king. And then he was raised as T'Challa's brother, but he wasn't actually related, so he thought he was going to be king, and he was not, because he didn't actually have royal blood. But Hunter gets the name White Wolf when he gets put into the Wakanda secret police. So.
Cool.
So, okay. I just love, oh god, it was so fun. It was just a fun movie. Like, it was good. Like, I got the imagery I wanted. I got all the fan, like, love that I wanted, like, as a Marvel fangirl.
Even sports.
There was still that, like, a couple of things where, like, you understood that they were explaining something because it was going to come back later. Like, the thing with the trains. Like,
When
the agent started asking about it, I was like, why are you taking the time to explain? Oh, it's going to come back later.
It's in Odin's treasure room, there are these things of interest so that Loki can steal them in 8 different films later.
Yeah.
Like, every time.
So I've heard complaints. People are like, ugh, politics. You have politics on my comics.
Who's complaining about this?
Oh,
like,
that was funny.
That's the whole fucking idea.
Yeah, like, I was just going to bring this up, too. So, like, I felt like it worked so well in this movie just because the MCU world that they built is highly political right now.
Yeah,
With, like, the Sokovia Accords and all of that that's going on. Like, there's been so much politics in universe that the political conversations that were going on in Black Panther didn't at all feel out of place. They didn't feel ham-fisted. They felt very contextually relevant.
Yeah, if they hadn't had them, I would have been confused.
Yeah. Well, in this movie in particular,
the ruler of a country.
In this movie in particular, it's like, have you just not been paying attention to what the fucking story is? Like, what his father was doing when he died? And, you know, yeah, we exactly. all saw that. But in comic books in general, I get really mad about this because it's like, hey, quick bitching about politics in your superhero comics is like, you just want your fun comic and you want your heroes. Look at how superheroes started. Where the hell have you been? Superman was invented by a couple of Jews in 1938 in Cleveland, like, and Captain America was punching out Nazis. This is what superheroes are for, fixing our real-world problems and having us, you know, find ways and be inspired to do some shit. So I got all incensed and I was raving that my 22-year-old son brought this up. He said the issue he feels like millennials are having, bitching about politics being in it, is the identity politics that they feel are being, they're even overshadowing, like, I like this movie too. Why does it all have to be about race and women and shit?
So
they're fatigued on that.
Actually, a conversation that came up going into the movie. My boyfriend, who I saw the movie with, is half African-American. And he hates that. He absolutely is like, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's just going to be all that. I don't want any of that. I don't want to watch stuff that's going to focus on that. Like, he was super against it. Now, he enjoyed the movie. He did feel like there were some moments where it went a little farther than it needed to, in his opinion. But I think, I don't think it was too much. But it was interesting. That came
because
up. I feel the same way about women, where he and I don't agree on this. I want women, female representation in movies, and I want to see chicks who are badass. And he's like, I don't get why you need your heroes to look like you or to be, you know, the same category of you. But this is an really interesting.
Well, that's the thing. The proof has been in, like, decades of work where black people went out and saw and enjoyed movies with heroes that didn't look like them. It's not necessary. The problem is, like, why is there such, why isn't it there by default? Like, why aren't the people that look like you there by default? And that's why it becomes a political issue and not just here's a movie where the people do happen to look like you. Like, this is all in the context of the world that we live in today, which is still steeped in issues of racism and sexism and so on and so forth. That's why it's an issue, not because Black Panther decided that it was going to be an issue, but because that's the world we live in, and the movie has responded to that in an extremely graceful way, a way that
Absolutely.
Makes sense for the world that it's set in, and ways that there's so many things to unpack from this movie in terms
yeah.
of like in terms
no,
of like the things
really,
they address.
I felt like they
really
deftly.
Well, I really agree with you. I do think it was graceful. I do think that the way the racial, I don't know what to call it, the racial
conversation.
Racial conversation. I like that. I think it was approached the right way, but it is interesting how there's, you know, so many varied opinions about it, and I think you're right. I think it's about just having it out there as an option, as a thing that exists, not just the whitewashing of every single movie ever.
There are movies where I could rage at for stuff that Gods of Egypt is one of them.
Sorry, did anybody watch that movie? Because
typing in the chat. No, I didn't.
Do it.
I felt like they really definitely
worked in. We're
gonna
do it for Bad Movie Night. Me and my husband, we're gonna go and we're gonna take our friends and we're all gonna sit down and we're gonna watch that. It's gonna be terrible. We're all gonna be yelling at the TV.
Like, aside from the fact that everybody, all the Egyptians in this movie are clearly not African. Why does this look like a weird, corny mech movie? Like, what is going on here? Like, they literally pulled these images from Yu-Gi-Oh! Or something.
Yeah,
like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, our next bad movie night is going to be that one, I, Frankenstein, and I forget what the third one is, but they were terrible.
I really, I just want to make sure we don't go without saying how much I appreciated the moment where he gave. Hijack. I'm gonna hijack the conversation so I can say no. that he gave Killmonger that moment, like to give him the ability to see Wakanda in his final moments, and that was probably one of the most beautiful moments that I've had in a movie in a really long time. Like, it legitimately, like, it hit me. It was real.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was meaningful. It was one of those times when you're like, God, I just, that character is so good. Like, that is such a good action, you know? Like, that moment was beautiful.
I thought they really deftly handled Killmonger's issues, too. And work that into social issues and stuff here. Just to bring it, I mean to drag it back, but I was typing in chat and trying to pay attention to chat and answer questions there. But I was still in the politics, and like, I work with my, you know, local communities, and I know some leaders in the African American communities, and this whole, that everybody dies. That's just how it is around here.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect that has on children in urban communities, and the daddy abandonment issues. I mean, dead or gone, you know, dead or absent. And that, you know, there are activists that just have whole workshops on, like, how to change that. And It was such, that character was so impacted and formed by that. And he found his strength, and then, but he was so broken and misguided, and just, yeah, it was really fucking amazing. And that T'Challa empathized with that, and he took blame for that. That being an insular nation and not helping other people and not lifting other people up takes blame for that. Mikio in the chat was pointing out, like, people having issues with this shit, it's just more prominent to them because they have guilt. And that's the truth.
True. That's true.
Or like, I was going to say, like, a lot of people like to take media like this and use it as their escapism, use it as their way to completely ignore what's going on in the world. And a lot of people live their lives basically ignoring what's going on around them as a coping mechanism, and they don't want their escapism media to break that coping mechanism for them, because it's difficult for a lot of people to have those conversations and to think about those things and to still exist confidently in the world. So I get where there's friction there, but it's just, there are, like, this is such a good example. This movie is such a good example of the fact that there are ways to have these conversations without coming out broken on the other side.
And I love how that scene with T'Challa and Killmonger at the end, like, T'Challa is now my second favorite character. It was, Captain America, and then Bucky, and then Clint. He is now slotted in.
Clint. Everybody forgets about Clint, but he's legitimate.
But yeah, it's just like, he's such a
Hawkeye,
like,
for those
that. Yeah, Hawkeye, in case you don't know. But he's just like, he has such like, charismatic grace, I think, is a way to put it. And he's very compassionate. And I do really like how that was shown.
I actually want to pull that out, too, because Mikio, I always screw up your name, I'm sorry, brought it up in the chat, and I agree, that moment was about forgiveness, and it was about T'Challa giving him that moment of forgiveness, and I think that that's important, too, because for him to move forward and not himself become bitter, he needed to have that moment of forgiveness. It's about forgiveness is sometimes not just for the forgiven, but the forgiver. Like, that's a really important thing that I think he needed to have, so he's not carrying that.
And he empowered him. He gave him that ultimate life and death choice and let him have that. He'd choose his own fate. Totally. And that was that was where I got all teared up.
There are two things about the ending that are really important to me. One is that, like, if you think back in the movie, it's a stark contrast from when Killmonger first walks into the, I don't know, the, that's the whatever the Oval Office.
The throne room.
The royal chambers.
Yeah, the throne room.
Yes. T'Challa is extremely dismissive of him. He knows who he is. It's very clear that he knows who he is, and he dismisses his ability. He dismisses Killmonger's ability to state who he is, to open up with his ideas and to impress upon everybody else what his concerns are. He's totally dismissive of him, and that's in stark contrast to the end where Killmonger's ideas live on through T'Challa and the decisions that he makes after Killmonger's death and after all that conflict. It's not, he realizes that, you know, they made Killmonger very clearly a 100% undeniable bad guy, and yet he carried with him so many truths, things that so many of the characters took to be truths and important ideas and things that had to live on, that even though they had to defeat the villain, it didn't mean throwing away all of his ideas with him.
Yeah, when my husband and I were talking about the movie after, we kept stopping. We were like, we say villain, and then we're like, no. It just didn't feel right. We ended up just calling him the antagonist. Yeah. Because he wasn't just an outright villain.
Sympathetic villains are the best villains because you can see where they're coming from. But at the same time, it's for the viewer, usually, it's at a direct conflict of what you think is right. Because if you're watching the movie and you're enjoying it, you probably align more with the hero.
Right.
So you're like, I understand and I feel for you, but stop. You know, it's that kind of thing of, I want to help, but I can't because of the way that you act or the way that you see the world. I can't change your view. And, you know, those make the best villains in my opinion.
Stop hitting me so we can have a conversation, damn it.
Yeah, I'm pleased. I got everything I wanted out of it and all the things I didn't know that I wanted out of this movie. All the things I didn't realize I needed. Completely, I know we're having like totally a silly thing, but Marvel fangirl Jen. I had predicted that we would not see the Soul Stone in this film, and I was correct. So,
yep.
You're going to see it in Infinity War. I think that's going to be the intro. It's Thanos, maybe get his hands on it. I don't know what it is, but I actually am glad they did. I feel like this story needs to step from that and not be cheapened in any way by the overarching story, but I'm glad to have Black Panther part of it, but I'm also extremely glad that they left all of that out of this film and only gently mentioned periodically the major over. Maybe like two or three times. It was just enough to have in set, but not so much as to plug it in, which I just needed to be separate.
I had a question for Curtis, because you saw it three times.
Mm-hmm.
What did you get out of subsequent viewings? Like, are there things that you missed that, like, really stood out in subsequent viewings? Because I'm curious, I feel like I'm going to go again.
That's so funny. So, like, I keep hearing from people, oh, there's so much to unpack and there's so many things that you miss in the first viewings that you have to catch. I don't know if it's just because I, very slight, without getting super spoilery, exposed myself to like light commentary from people who had early screenings. But I pretty much like, I was expecting what they delivered, and my like literally at the end of my first viewing, I wanted to see the movie again just to continue to experience the characters.
I just wanted to be in the world.
Continue to experience the world. Like, it was such a well built world and such a well done example of this idea that doesn't exist in our world because of colonialization and the history of Africa as a continent and where Africa is today. This idea of what if there was a portion of Africa that not only was not did not experience extreme colonialization throughout its history, but also had access to technology that wasn't then taken advantage of by globalism and all of that, and developed technologically over the course of a long period of time, therefore carrying on what we see as tradition as like their contemporary way of life as well. And like, it's just such a well done world in terms of, like you said, the architecture, the integration of the architecture in the natural, what they created as the natural landscape, showing that you don't have to decimate like mountains and stuff to build a city. You can build within nature as well. The integration of technology and nature.
I may have just gotten a tattoo about that.
Exactly. So like, it's visually so well done, and then the characters are just so much fun to be around.
They're, you want to hang out with them. Yeah, you want to be friends with them. Like,
I want that bracelet that turns into a staff so bad.
And funny.
Yeah,
and
I'm
chill.
So funny. I'm like the opposite of so many guy friends. I don't really have that reaction, but I do just appreciate how badass the chicks are and awesome.
Yeah. Like, everybody is just, like, got their own thing going on. Yo, why are you pulling me out of my mission? Yo, yeah. I'm heading this to
Did he freeze?
Like, I'm heading all the time. Yeah.
I can't remember her name. The head of his guard. I want to make a plushie. I want to make a plushie of her as well. So I can have a T'Challa and her, but I'm having trouble figuring out how to make her outfit look right. Cause I'm like, that's so ornate. I want to put everything, but I can't cause it's tiny. So I'll figure it out. But, so any kind of, final thoughts on our discussion?
I have predictions for Infinity War now. Totally silly, unimportant things. But we have a bunch of vibranium now, which means Cap gets a new shield, and Thor's new hammer is made out of vibranium. And we're finally going to get Storm.
No. Sure. I'm pretty sure that the thing in the trailer of him trying to get something started is him at some sort of celestial forge trying to rebuild his hammer. So,
To be honest, I have actually chosen not to watch the trailer.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers.
No, you're fine. I don't expect anybody else to hold to that bullshit. I just personally am staying back so that I can really just enjoy it the first time I see it, because I didn't watch very many Black Panther trailers, and that made the shots of Wakanda just so much more impactful.
When he was like, this never gets old, and I was like, what are we about to see?
Going. But I just want to say one other thing and then I'm good. From a literature standpoint and world building, there are two things that matter the most: good characters and world building. I don't want to be able to turn it sideways and it disappears. It has to have depth, and I need it to be, I don't need science fiction to make sense exactly. But give me a plausible way that it works. And, like, the kinetic energy, like, repulse thing of his suit, I was like, cool. Okay, you gave me enough that I can, you know, I can move forward and not be caught up with that. That wouldn't work that way. There's no way. I didn't get caught up in that. And they did a really good job with that. The world building is so good.
Mm-hmm. Curtis?
I don't know why. I don't know if this is just a weird, like, hope, because it's not a hope, but, like, I feel like maybe Thor dies and gets replaced, and we have Like in the comics, Thor the
is
next
dying
Thor
a lot right
woman.
Now in the comics.
No, it's true. It's
all
true.
The Thors.
I love Thor, so it's hard.
I'm just like, he's half blind now. What do we do with that? He doesn't have a hammer. What do we do with that? He barely understands how to use his power still. What do we do with that? what's going on with this guy right now?
He's got to be broken down so he can get built up the right way.
Doing this with Thor, though. This is why Thor is such a frustrating character.
That's what his role is. Honestly,
yeah.
That's his role. Is to be the one that has to make the same fucking hardhead mistake over and over and over again.
Yeah, but he definitely has gotten better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I'm just so curious.
And he's so pretty.
What T'Challa's interactions are with all the other characters as you think about Wakanda as a country historically has been extremely isolationist in terms of relationships with people across the world as well, even though they've had spies across the world, it was still a thing that T'Chaka's brother had a relationship with a woman in Oakland. That's a thing. That you don't do that. You're on the job. Now Wakanda's open, sharing ideas. We'll see to what extent. Probably won't rush into it because everybody thinks it's still a farming country or whatever. So we don't have to tell everybody about the freaking meteor.
I laughed my head off at that.
In the mountain.
Bit at the end.
Yeah. No, that's so good. I was but now T'Challa will probably be interacting a lot more with other Avengers and other people with powers and heroes around the world. I'm just curious to see how because the MCU has played so much with character development and character interactions, and that's just been so much fun to watch, and I'm just curious to see how he plays into that as well, and other characters from Wakanda as well.
Yeah. Amber, final thoughts?
No, I'm good. I think I said all my pieces. Some of them very loudly and passionately.
Go see the movie.
See it 3 times. I am probably going to go see it again. I am going to own it when it is available to own. Mm. Fucking fantastic.
Okay. I'll put it on the shelf with all the rest of my MCU movies. Okay, so now we're going to move, or I forgot. Please chime in if you have stuff to talk about Black Panther. If you're mad at us for doing spoilers, please email us at geekgirls@gmail.com. Or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577 and, actually talk to us. What are you most anticipating right now? Jen, go.
Please. Hooray. It's less than a month away, and I'm going to make my first, journey outside of the continental United States. That's a hard word to say. I think it's hilarious that I have a degree in international politics, specifically about comparative political theory for Eastern Europe and Latin America, and never took any classes on America ever, and have never left. So that's really sad. So I'm glad I can finally get to leave and go. Yeah. So I'm really excited. It's been really fun, and my friend is moving to Arizona, and I feel really good having, it's going to be awesome to have maybe another human that I know outside of town. So really looking forward to all of that. Yeah.
Cool. Curtis, what you got coming up?
So this is a thing I'm participating in, but Hearthstone's one of the things that I do very recreationally. The Dills Hearthstone League is going into its sixth season soon. And, oh, yes, you did? Nice. Yeah, I'm still just going to be spectating, but I'm just excited to see that it's going, and it's going strong. Season 6, everybody's really excited for it. And there's probably going to be a lot of streams that I will be excited to tune into. I'm just going to be trying to follow it a lot more regularly and trying to get back into Hearthstone. So yeah, that should be fun. And then just South by Southwest, because that's just going to be incredible. I'm really excited for that.
I'm jealous. You have to hug everybody for me.
I will hug all the people for you.
All right, Ember, what are you most anticipating right now?
Well, hopefully a Kyogre catch. I'm also really super excited, and I hope they let me, because the Peculiars, my husband's band, is in Orlando recording. He'll be home probably Friday, and hopefully they fucking let me listen to the master instead of making me wait. Because, like, when they develop new songs, they seriously wait to make me hear the song at a gig. I'm like, this is not okay. This has got to stop. I'm hoping my friend and our patron, Vinod, and our wonderful retweets all the things. If he doesn't right away, right now, it's because he's traveling in India and the UK. And he's like, what do you want me to bring you? And I don't have any idea how to answer that. So hopefully he'll just find something really cool. I'm also looking forward to reading some more of this great book I'm reading by J.F. Dubow, an author who is going to be on our cast in March.
Tuesday the 13th.
Yes.
Yay.
You may have heard him on Mind of a Geek. The book I'm reading is Life Engineered, which is sci-fi, but he also has horror books, and I know this one is fucking fantastic, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
He was a Sword and Laser award winner, too.
So yes.
Sword and Laser. Yeah.
Yeah, and I am really into this. Like, I'm as into this as I am into watching the Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. So
yeah, support him too, so that he can get his book sooner, because his publisher is only letting him put out like one year, unless like the pre-sales go nuts. So if we want the book sooner, go pre-order shit.
And there's a thing, yeah, listen to Mind of a Geek. He explains this whole drama with his publisher and how basically you can force him to also publish something he wants published and the publisher's reluctant to, but if we just, you know, start sending the monies, they have to.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. For me, it's this weekend is Garden of Destinies, which is the Boffer LARP that I talked about last week. I get to play my jazz singer, my bluesy jazz singer, which is hilarious because she wears a bajillion tons of makeup. And by she, I mean I. I have that weird disconnect sometimes between me and my characters. So I get to put on a whole face full of makeup and just saunter around and be pretty. And then one of the ladies that I taught to crochet actually emailed me randomly and was like, I've made you a project bag because I really liked you and you were very sweet. So, you know, where do I send it to? So I gave her my work address because my apartment is weird and doesn't like packages, and we'll send it back to the mail office. So she's sending me a new project bag. So that's exciting because cool. She was like, what colors do you like? And, you know, what animals do you like? And so I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be pretty. I'm excited.
Awesome.
I love it.
So Curtis, so
speaking of money and sending people money, just a reminder that Geek Girls is wholly and completely supported by our patrons. We love and appreciate all of you. Your feedback is always welcome. You are our favorite people in the world. I know I see some of them in the chat right now, which makes me very happy. But if you'd like to become a patron, you can do so at patreon.com/grills. And I want to give some game codes away. I have a whole bunch. So the next few patrons that sign up, I'm sending shit. So go sign up.
So is Curtis well marinated?
Oh, we were going to skip for time. We were considering, unless you want me to.
I want to hear his answers so bad.
That was my concern.
Yeah, are we going long? Like
a little bit.
We just started late.
Yeah, we started a little late. We're going a little long, so.
All right, we'll have Curtis on again. We'll marinate him twice. And
extra marinade and a rub.
Oh my gosh. Well, Ember, what can everybody do if they don't want to throw down the cold hard cash?
Well, they can go to iTunes or probably Google Play and all those other nifty podcatching apps and leave us a review. 5 stars, say nice things, whatever.
Right.
It really helps other people find us. It gets us higher in the ratings. Like when people are searching, geek is a really common search word. so it really, really would help us out if you just go leave a review somewhere.
Cool. All right, girls, where can we find you on the interwebs? Curtis?
An honorary.
Honorary girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
I like that. I like that. I am Curtis LaRock on the Twitters. That's probably where I'm most active, because Instagram, meh. Yeah.
The Diamond Club Forest running around. Yeah, you'll see a Curtis in the wild every now and again.
Oh, yes, this is very true. And a hashtag chat room near you. Yeah.
I love it.
Jen?
You can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. Coming soon. I know there haven't been many streams lately. It's been a little cray-cray, and like cray, it's just been nuts. And you can get everything that I do in one place at TheJenSays.com, which, as we learned last week, I own.
Did it.
Yay. Ember?
Well, you can always go to our Facebook page, look for Geek Grills. I can be found at 9 of 12 on Twitter and here on Twitch, of course. Please don't forget to like and subscribe before you go. You can also hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. We do live stream those recordings. Sometimes it's gameplay on caffeine-induced TV.
Just one thing I got to wedge in here because I completely forgot. It's this Friday, March 2nd. Mind of a Geek podcast. I'll be on 7:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Eastern. I'll make sure the links are everywhere. But I almost forgot to plug it one more time.
Well, at least you remembered. And you can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast. And you can hear me play games with my other podcasters on Glitter Dice Plays. We are currently playing Monster Hearts. You can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob, that is TRUN00B, and that's where I do my crochet streams, make the plushies, like the Charmander. Charmeleon is next. I called it Charlizard first because I didn't know the name, but it's a Charmeleon, so he'll be next, and I'll be doing him on Monday. So, thanks for listening, everybody. Good game.
Good game.
GG!
GG!
Enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech? Leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.